In his Sefer Esh Tamid, which he calls the Eternal Fire of Devarim, Rav Aaron Sonnenschein, who wrote this Sefer, points out that the first two topics in our Parsha Kisavoy, he says, are addenda to mitzvot we've learned already. He says, many details are taught here, but the textual, he says, centerpiece, where they're proclaimed, I guess, makes, right, he says, they're done, he says, in the Beis HaMikdash. And he says they're alluded to in last week's Parsha. So we're told we have the mitzvah of Bikurim, the mitzvah to bring the very first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. And a Medrash says, let the first bring of the first to the first, to the first place, to the first of all. And the Medrash says, let the first, being the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kadosh, holy is Yisrael to Hashem, they are the first fruits of his produce, bring the first, the actual first fruits, to the first, to the Kohen, who is the first and foremost in doing service in the Beis HaMikdash, to the first place, the Beis HaMikdash, and an honor of the first of all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Hashem, Ani Rishon, Ani Achron, I'm beginning and end. The Torah calls the Jewish people and the Beis HaMikdash a first, even though they weren't there at the dawn of creation. But it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceived of their existence before creation, and Bishvilchem, because of them, the world was created. And the Sfasema says, moreover, B'nai Yisroel are given the nomenclature, the name first, because they acknowledge and lead others to believe in Hashem, the first. And we've spoken many times how Klal Yisroel are the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And that's why they're hated. In doing the mitzvah of Bikurim, we confirm our belief that Eretz Yisroel and its produce belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're allowed to use them, but Hashem is the owner. And we express gratitude for the bounty we're given, and we demonstrate that all parnasa, all livelihood, is only enjoyed because of the providence and concern of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us. We're told that the Bikurim are brought from the specific seven species for which Eretz Yisroel is famed: wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. We're told that when someone who owns land, and we know that Eretz Yisroel was an agrarian society, when they go out and they notice the first fruits have ripened in his field or in his orchard, he ties a thread around that fruit to mark it as Bikurim. The Ramban in Mori Nevuchim says, one of the mitzvos of doing this is to strengthen one's self-control. He says, when you see the first fruit of spring, there should be a natural inclination to say, I want to enjoy it. We could even say, we want to make a brach on it and thank Hashem. And Hashem is saying, no, I want you to do something. I want you to look at it, see it, work with it, designate it, and you're going to bring it then to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So one species has ripened. He then waits until other types of fruits have ripened. And he tries, and then he takes the many, I would say, the up to seven first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. If he estimates that these first fruits can in no way continue to stay fresh, but would decay, right? He can't make it to Eretz Yisrael. It says he preserves them. It says he converts fresh figs into dried figs, grapes into raisins. And even though the technical mitzvah is to give but one fruit for Bikurim, they would add, because the greater adding to a mitzvah, right, is a greater mitzvah. And we're told that the period of time where Bikurim were brought and were allowed to be brought started with Shavuos and ended with Chanukah. The first fruits had to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash in a container, such as a basket. And we're told a mark of honor would be to have a separate container for each. If they're going to be put into one container, and let's say it's really a fancy container, he says, the barley is put on the bottom, then you put the wheat, then olives, then the dates, the pomegranates, and finally the figs are the top. Between each layer of fruit is placed a divider, such as leaves. And the very top layer, he says, is surrounded by a cluster of grapes. How were they brought to Yerushalayim? We're told cities in Eretz Yisroel were grouped into specific districts. The inhabitant of every town in each district would, on a certain time, assemble in one place and travel together to Yerushalayim to bring the Bikurim. And the crowd was, in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Beroiv Am Hadras Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory is enhanced when you've got more people around. When they traveled, these people at night would only rest in open areas, so they wouldn't have what we call an ohel, a tent over them, and possibly become tomei. Especially right, if there's a corpse, God forbid, under it, together with the people. And they said, in the morning, the person designated as the leader of the pack would say, arise and let us go up to Tzion, to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, an ox which they would later bring as a shlamim sacrifice, walked in front of the procession. They covered its horns with gold, and they said a wreath of olive leaves were around its head. And they said, they would say Tehillim 122, Pasuk 1, Samachti bi'omrim li beis Hashem neleich. I was happy when they said to me, let us go to the house of Hashem. They said there were people playing flutes accompanying them until the procession reached Jerusalem. The travelers stopped at the gates where they would arrange and decorate the Bikurim, and they would send news to people in the city that the group from this and this district are here. A welcoming group came out of Kohanim, Levim, treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash. When they entered the city of Yerushalayim, the travelers said the pasuk, "I'm Daishayu Ragwayna Birushah Yerushalayim." Our feet were standing in your gates, Yerushalayim. Those laborers who were working stopped, got up, and welcomed the newcomers. They would say, "Our brothers from this and this town, from this and this area, welcome." And that way they were giving kavod to those doing a mitzvah. They said those who had the flutes continued to play, and those who were walking with Bikurim continued to say Pasukim of Tilim until they reached the Temple Mount. Then they said, each person, and even the king of Eretz Yisrael, the king, right, who was in a procession, would put his basket on his shelter, on his shoulders, excuse me, and he would personally present this first fruit basket or whatever it was into the Kohen. It says, when the procession entered the courtyard, the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, the Levim sang the song, "I will praise you, Hashem, because you have lifted me and not made my enemies rejoice over me." It said the travelers had attached doves and pigeons to the sides of their baskets, and they gave these to the Kohanim and said, "Please shech these as ola, fully burnt sacrifices." With the basket still on the people, each person's shoulders, each one of them said the following pasuk: "I declare today to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God, that I have come to the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sworn to our forefathers to give to us." This is a verbal acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept the promise he made to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that the individual was bringing and now had brought to the Beis HaMikdash the gift of the Bikurim from his allocated nachwa, his allocated piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. It says, while the owner held the edge of the basket, the Kohen put his hands beneath it, and together they did what they call a waving right? Ceremony moving it in various directions. It says, Sephorna adds that the Bikurim were placed next to the Mizbeach, the outdoor Mizbeach, and this was to signify that we weren't bringing Bikurim as presents to Kohanim, but they were being offered, so this, they were being offered directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It said, when the fruit was put in front of the Mizbeach, the individual said a chapter in Hebrew, which is right there in the Parsha. It says, originally, those who knew how to read Hebrew, because not everyone did, they would recite the text themselves. And for those who did not know the text, a reader performed the mitzvah for them. The Chachamim, watching, realized that this caused those who could not read properly embarrassment, and they were refraining from coming. Therefore, they set up that only a shliach tzibur, only an appointee, could do this so that they wouldn't differentiate between people. He says that the same problem, he said, occurred in ancient times when it came time to give aliyahs, that not everybody could read. The mitzvah of an aliyah is you get called up and you should read the parsha that you're being called, Risha and Sheni, Shlishi, etc. When they realized that there were people who could not do it, that's when the institution of a Baal Koreh, a public reader, right, was put into place. The Torah says that those who offer Bikurim have to read this portion of the Torah because it relates to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's kindness to the Jewish people. The offerer acknowledges his gratitude for all that HaKadosh Baruch has done for him. The text recalls the hardships and the afflictions that the people withstood, because in order to truly appreciate the good HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, it's got to be realized into perspective of what else happened. And he reads, the Arami destroyed my father, as in the, we say in the Seder, love on the Arami planned to destroy Yaakov. God frustrated his plan and reckoned his evil intentions as if they had been done. That Yaakov Avinu got out of Lavan's house with his family unaffected, we're told, was one of the greatest nisim. Lavan did everything within his power, both physical and his power of avodah zarah, to try to undo Yaakov. Then we go down and we say, after Yosef was in Mitzrayim, Yaakov went down, because Hashem said, 70 people, and we know, Klal Yisrael became a nation in Mitzrayim. And we're told that the Jewish people distinguished themselves from the Mitzrim. They kept their way of dress, their language, they spoke Lashon HaKodesh, and their Hebrew names. And they were outstanding in being Balei Chesed to one another. Hashem multiplied them miraculously, and Paro decided they were coming a fifth column, or would be, and he decided to destroy them. He afflicted the Jewish people, as we know. We had to withstand the period of backbreaking, difficult labor. V'nitzak, we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of our fathers. Hashem heard our voice. He heard our entreaties, and he heard our cries, obviously. Remembered the bris with Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, that he said he would redeem us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu noted the afflictions, the entreaties put on Yaakov. The fact that they tried to separate husbands and wives, to stop having more children. Hashem saw the children being thrown into the Nile and the terrible work conditions that the Egyptians forced. Hashem Atzmai, Hashem all by himself, brought us out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand. He gave the Egyptians Dever, the pestilence. And according to one of the Mandomrim, it says, pestilence was something that occurred with each one. It was an add-on to all of the 10 plagues. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the firstborn of Mitzrayim, right, to die. And he warned them. And there was a civil war when Paro and his people wouldn't do anything to save them. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina descended into Mitzrayim, and all could feel it. And you have this fear when you have the feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. He gave Moshe the power to do signs, Nisim, with his staff, right? There were wonders. Hashem said, if the Jews are skeptical, show them how you turn water into blood. He brought us here to Yerushalayim. He gave us the Beis HaMikdash, and this land which flows with milk and honey. Its animals have tremendous amounts of milk, and there's date honey. Therefore, I am going to acknowledge that all that I have is only due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. And therefore, I brought to the Beis HaMikdash, the Bikurim, the very first fruits of the ground that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. This was all said with the implications, as we noted next to them. And then the Bikurim were waved a second time. The offerer then took them, put them at the side of the Mizbeach, bows down, and leaves. The Bikurim were distributed amongst the Kohanim who were on duty that day in the Beis HaMikdash. Whoever brought Bikurim was required to also bring Shlomim, Karbonis, and was required to stay in Jerusalem overnight. They couldn't leave the same day. There's a mitzvah called Lina, staying in Jerusalem, to be subject to the holy environment for a longer period of time. The author of the Midrash says that this would have a lasting effect on the people, having spent this time again in Yerushalayim. And he says the Mitzvah Bikurim is a striking example how Klal Yisrael says that Keli V'Anvehu, this is my God, and I will beautify him, or I'll beautify my service to him. How they made these efforts to have fantastic looking Bikurim. This only can occur when there's a deep love for mitzvahs, to turn it into what he calls a glorious undertaking, a yontif type, right? And you ended up with the annunciation, the recital of many psukim, with a lovely musical entourage, a physically beautiful aesthetic picture of fruits, and you had the self-sacrifice, or you had the donative spirit, rather, of giving these things to the Kohanim on behalf of a Kadosh Baruch who asked you to do it. Okay, that's the detail on the Bikurim.